God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. Mark chapter 4 is where we'll head today for this topic, facing tomorrow with confidence. As we do so, know that we're confidently connecting with you on our website right now at tewonline.org. Now, today's message from Dr. Wilton. The Encouraging
Word. Be satisfied with what you're doing today. Probably some of the most unsatisfied and dissatisfied people are people who are always living for tomorrow. They never enjoy the moment. Others have said, just stop and smell the roses for a little while. I have many wise people who come to me and say to me and to you, Pastor, while you're still young and you've got your children at home, enjoy them. Because before you know it, they're going to be grown. They're going to be gone and you're going to look back with regret and you're not going to have spent enough time. Now this is the time to take care of these things. You see, the future is unknown, isn't it? I began to ask myself the question, what would we do if Jesus Christ in person could presence Himself in this congregation? If Jesus in the flesh could stand here right now, what would He say to us? What do you suppose the Lord Jesus would say to you as a husband and as a father, grandparent? Do you think maybe Jesus knows that you're going to die in May? That you're going to go home to be with Him? If you knew you were going to die in March or May, what would you do that would be different between now and then? Facing the unknown with certainty. There is a remarkable encounter in Mark's Gospel chapter 4. I want to read it to you because Jesus presenced Himself in the flesh with His disciples. He was with them. And something extraordinary happened. And what I want us to do this morning, as we consider the subject, how to face the unknown with confidence, and as we ask the question, what would the Lord Jesus Christ say to us? Let's talk about some real things today. What would Jesus have to say to us? I want us to look at five principles this morning that Jesus would have said to us, I believe, from this encounter. And then we're going to consider six lessons of application. What do these five biblical principles tell us? So let's read this encounter together, and I'm going to be reading Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 35. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, let us go over to the other side. If I could just pause there for a moment. Remember now, they were standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by magnificent mountains. It's a very beautiful spot. It's a garden spot. If you could just watch my hand for a moment, it's almost as though someone came with a big old shovel or a backhoe or something and just dug a ditch and just scraped it out of the middle of the mountains leading down to the Dead Sea. Just took a big chunk of earth out in the middle of these beautiful mountains, and there you'll find the Sea of Galilee, the place that Jesus spent so much of His ministry. The lake is a beautiful lake. When I was privileged to be there 10 years ago exactly, we went on a boat, as many of you have, and right into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and they turned the engines off. And in fact, that day I did a devotion for the group that was there, and we read some of the encounters that Jesus had on the Sea of Galilee. We are told that at the Sea of Galilee, because of the structure of the mountains, that winds can get up awfully suddenly. And the winds can be very ferocious. They just whip through these gorges. And when they do so, the waves become tumultuous. It can be turned into a raging sea. It can go from a beautiful, tranquil, beautiful picture postcard type of scene to an awesome disturbance just in a moment like that. It can be turned upside down. And so here it is, verse 35. That day, Jesus said, let us go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. These were fishermen. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat. Just picture the scene. So that it was nearly swamped. In other words, they were about to sink. The tumult around them was very serious and very great. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that in the middle of this storm, that the Lord Jesus Christ was sleeping on a cushion? The disciples woke him up and they said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Gentlemen, why are you so afraid? What has happened to your faith? Do you still have faith?" And look at verse 41. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" How can we possibly face an unknown future with confidence? There's a lot that is unknown about the future. We don't like to talk about it too much because we are a present people. We like to deal with what we can see. We like to handle what is available to us right now. We're a right now generation. But our future is unknown morally in America, folks. Let's not pull the wool over our eyes. Morally, America does not have a bright future. More and more, the Supreme Court is agreeing with immoral stances that defy the Word of God. Everywhere we turn, the name of the game is tolerance. That's the new gospel in America. It's the gospel of tolerance. People have taken the gospel and they've taken it out of its context. They've said we must just be kind to everybody. You must tolerate everybody, whether they have an alternative lifestyle, whether they do it this way or they do it that way. It doesn't matter what God has to say about it. Morally, we're facing an unknown future. We're facing an unknown future physically, all of us. You know that we discover as pastors that more and more people are being diagnosed with cancer. Almost every week we find someone who's being hurt physically. More and more people are dying tragically. Do you know that there may be someone here that I'm looking at right now, that within the next couple of weeks or months, you could be diagnosed with a dreaded disease? I could be. All of us. We don't know what goes on in here. And you could go for a checkup and the next minute, you're on death's doorstep. I mean, just like that. It can happen so quickly. You never expected. You might have just spent the last Christmas that you'll ever have with your family on this earth. Now we don't like, it's unknown. We don't like to talk about it. We're facing an unknown future ethically. The ethics of America are no longer what they are. People's words no longer count. Yeas are not yea and nays are not nay. Ethically. The system is breaking down. Family values no longer have the same worth to them. We're living in a generation today where preachers are becoming increasingly afraid to preach about the horrors of abortion. Where the French people are trying to force upon America pills that are going to become such comfort and convenient zones that people no longer even have to worry about contraceptives. They just pop pills and that takes care of the unborn. Marriage is no longer what it's supposed to be. People just shack up with each other. Divorce is no longer even an issue. If you want to get divorced, just go and get divorced. Doesn't matter about children anymore. Morally and ethically, spiritually, we're living on the cutting edge. The Bible says there will come a time when people will no longer endure sound doctrine. Churches today are revolting more and more against the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. People don't want it. They're going to run to churches where they can sit in comfort zones. The Bible says they will heap to themselves men who have itching ears. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy, there will come a time when people will deny the power of God. They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. They'll come to church on Sunday mornings and they'll get upset if anything begins to threaten their comfort zones. We're living in an unknown day and age. The Bible says increasingly there is going to be a separation between the sheep and the goats. People are no longer going to tolerate the principles of righteousness, the standards of justice and reasonableness and decency and order. Anarchy is going to be coming across the world where people believe that the American Constitution can be summarized in one phrase, my right to do anything I want to do. It's even coming to the church. Young people are being taught to disregard authority. Our school system educationally is breaking down. I'm so grateful for Spartanburg County. I'm so grateful for the superintendents that we have, for the principals and the teachers who inculcate standards upon our people. I'm grateful for the politicians that we have in South Carolina who have been bold enough to take a stand on principles, irregardless of the ballot box and the popularity contests. I'm grateful. Folks, our education system is breaking down. Our grandchildren are looking at a future where increasingly we're going to be running to the privacy of our homes and private schools, which are operating sanctuaries from the lunacy which is surrounding us, the demands, the denigration of education and standards. We're facing an unknown future. And so we come down to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I began to think of facing an unknown future in my own life, as I'm sure you have, God has impressed upon me that the future of this church and of this country is not going to be found in the ballot box or in the budget box. It's going to be solved in the prayer closet. God has said to me, Pastor, you need to get on your knees. You need to spend hours on your knees. You need to seek my face. You need to study the Word of God. That's why we have a staff. That's why we have a team in this church. And we have people who are doing such a tremendous job doing what they've been called to do. I love going to the Nautilus. It's my favorite place here in Spartanburg. I've made a resolution to go there 3-4 times a week and do the things that I need to do because I'm getting older and I'm slowing down and I don't want to be an old crock pot. I don't want to be. So I've got to do something about it. And folks, we can talk about a lot of things, but what did Jesus say to His disciples? Principle number one, storms are inevitable. Storms are inevitable. Isn't it amazing? They got into this boat on a beautiful day. They didn't get into that boat when it was all messed up. They got in going to the other side and a storm came up. May I guarantee all of us something here today? Storms are inevitable, folks. It's going to happen. Financial and economic and physical and spiritual and with our families and our loved ones and our education, and storms are inevitable. They're going to happen. You're going to have problems in your marriage. You're going to have death and sickness in your homes. You're going to struggle. It is inevitable. Storms are inevitable. Nowhere in the Bible does it say because you love the Lord, you're not going to have to face the storms of life. Principle number two, Satan uses devices. The Bible tells us that. Satan uses devices. Peter said, be sober and be vigilant because the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's what he did to Job. He took everything away from him. Satan uses devices. Jesus said to his disciples, disciples, you won't understand it while it's happening, but there will come a time that you will. Satan is out to get us. He's out to get the church. He's out to get America. He wants this country on her knees. He wants Spartanburg on her knees. He wants First Baptist Church on her knees. He wants your family to be torn apart. He wants to destroy you. He doesn't like all this stuff. He doesn't want to see people being saved in the church. He's going to rattle the bones. He's going to make people uncomfortable. He's going to get out and destroy whoever he can. Satan uses devices. Principle number three, God gives permission. We don't often understand that God allows some things to happen. God allows it to happen. Listen, folks, do you think that Jesus could have stopped the storm before it started? Of course he could. So who do you think allowed it to happen? God did. He controls all of that. You think Jesus could have said, no way, winds and waves, you're not going to do this to my disciples. He could have stopped it right then, but he didn't. He allowed it to happen. Why? God allows things to happen for a purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. God gives permission. Number four, principle number four. Jesus understands. I love this. Did you notice something here in Mark chapter 4? Principle number 4, Jesus understands. Jesus, the Bible says, was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. There are many passages in Scripture that point to the humanity of the Lord Jesus. This is one of them. Why was Jesus asleep? Well, it can be argued, and I would agree with this, because Jesus wanted to teach His disciples a lesson. Absolutely. God allows these things to happen. But Jesus was also asleep because he was tired. He was suffering from fatigue. If you go back and read his teachings about the parable of the mustard seed and about the lamp on a stand and the parable of the growing seed and all the ministry, he was suffering from fatigue. And friend, we've just come through Christmas. And if there's anything we've learned this Christmas is that as much as Jesus Christ is and was God, Jesus became fully man. He understands us. And so when you face an unknown future, do you think Jesus understands that? He does. He knows all about those physical and moral and ethical and political and all the ups and downs that we go through. He knows about that. He understands. He understands us perfectly. He was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. But there's a fifth principle. Faith is central. Faith is central. Did you notice that after this had taken place, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, gentlemen, what is wrong with your faith? You found yourself in the midst of a crisis and something happened to your faith. He said, I don't want you to let go of your faith. It doesn't matter what happens. Stand by your faith. Faith is the essence of everything that we are. Jesus was saying to these disciples, listen, faith means that you cannot explain all the calamities of life. You cannot understand why God allows these things to happen, but you're willing to accept that God is still God and He's on His throne. That's faith.
Forgive the interruption. Indeed, that is faith. And we'll be back with the rest of today's message in just a moment. But as we look ahead to the future and look back to know that every single day last year, somebody gave their life to Jesus Christ through the ministry of Encouraging Word. How does that happen? It happens because we partner with friends like you that are prayerful and financial supporters of the Encouraging Word. As a matter of fact, we call you encouragers.
God has great love for our fallen world. As Christians, we are directed to pour out God's love to those without Christ so that they can be found in Him. Will you join us in pouring out the message of Christ's love? We need your support. Become an encourager today. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 to request information on how you can help support the work of the Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Again, we'd love to tell you more about who we are, but our number, 866-899-9673, is first and foremost to encourage you. We'd love to pray with you anytime, day or night. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
That means as we go into the future, my friends, we can know that with our faith, God is going to enable us to face the future with certainty. It means everything can collapse around us. But because of our faith in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand upon a solid rock. Isn't that great? You want to see people's faith? Go and talk to a born-again believer who's dying of cancer or who's suffering physically and watch the exercise and the expression of faith in the most beautiful way possible. Why? Because people who are in a boat and the waves are crashing around them, let me tell you something, folks, they know something that many of us in our comfort zones have yet to experience. The Bible tells us that the purest gold comes out of the hottest fire. When you go through fire, it's awfully hot. It burns. It's difficult. It's depressing. It hurts our morale. It causes us to be depressed. It makes us ask a lot of questions. But just hang on a moment, because the purest gold is going to come out the other side. Five principles. Storms are inevitable. Satan uses devices. God gives His permission. Jesus understands. And faith is central. Five principles you and I can take. Let me talk about six lessons that we can learn from this. Number one, God knows. I love that. God knows. No matter what we plan, God knows. You know something? He's already been there. He's in charge. He knows all about it. Number two, Jesus is in the boat with us. Just think about that. He's in the boat with us. Isn't that a great truth? He's in the boat with us. He's not standing on the shore. He's not standing out there looking from outside in. He's looking from inside out. He knows all about us. The Bible says even the very hairs upon our heads are numbered in His presence. God knows, and Jesus Christ is in the boat with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us, doesn't abandon us. He's right there. He's in the boat. Whether the water's calm or whether there's a great storm, Jesus Christ is in the boat. Lesson number three, God's action will always produce a reaction. Lesson number three, God's action will always produce a reaction. Did you notice something with me? Verse 40, the waves have been quieted. It's back to complete calm according to verse 39. And you would think that the disciples would have said, wow, it's been done. Look, everything's calm again. Let's have a cup of coffee together. Let's celebrate. The Bible, do you think the disciples were giving each other high fives and saying, man, weren't we fortunate that Jesus was in the boat? What does the Bible say happened after Jesus acted? What does the Bible say happened after God had moved? There it is in verse 41. They were terrified. Friend, listen to me, watch me. When God acts, people are going to react. Don't ask God to act and then not expect an earthquake to follow. Because when God acts, He begins to demonstrate His holiness and His righteousness, and the ungodliness of the world cannot tolerate it. They're going to revolt. They're going to run. They're going to pack their bags. They're going to criticize. They're going to become angry. They will not like it. Lesson number 3. Precious friend in your family, your married life, listen. God's action will produce a reaction. Lesson number 4. Hold God in the highest esteem. Hold God in the highest esteem. Jesus was basically saying, listen, you're exactly right in verse 41. Even the wind and the waves do obey me. I am God, that's why. I will not be mocked. I'm in control. I created the heavens and the earth. I created everything that moves and has its being. Hold God in the highest esteem. Don't sacrifice that. Lesson number 5, trials will turn you to God. It is through the trials of life that we turn to God. He uses these things to teach us, to refine us, to humble us, to draw us to Himself. And lesson number 6, salvation must be accompanied by submission. Jesus was saying to these disciples, listen, if I'm in the boat with you and I'm going to help you to face an unknown future with confidence, you must submit to me. You know what the world does today? The world says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it on my terms. The way I want to do it, how I want to do it. And God's word says, no, I am the Lord Jehovah.
Could it be we've all said, I want to do things my own way, but now we know God has provided a better way. As we close our program today, here's Dr. Don with a final closing thought.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If God has moved in your life and you know you need to make a change, a course correction, an adjustment, oh, how we would love to be a part of the next. Perhaps you gave your life to Jesus moments ago praying with Dr. Wilton or rededicated your life to Christ. We have specific resources, absolutely free, we want you to have if you'll call us at 866-899-WORD. You can also connect with us on our website at tewonline.org. Both of those options, the phone number, 866-899-WORD. 899-9673 and the website tewonline.org can be the next step of watching God work in your life in a powerful way. Until tomorrow, I pray you have a blessed day and you'll join us again for more of the great Bible-based teaching from Dr. Don Wilton on the Encouraging Word.